हरिः सहन भवतु सहन भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमविद्विषावहै जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, are we still on this footnote, or are we on the verses? Because I don't have a thing here.
Can we finish the footnote?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. So just going back from text 5. Some philosophers say that matter is everything. Matter is self-manifest. Matter is eternal. And any concept of God is a senseless lie. They say no one has ever proved God's existence. God is created by man. And talk of a spiritual world is a lie imagined by rascals. They say the inert material elements combine to create conscious life. In this way, conscious life is manifest in inert matter. They say that when it dies, conscious life ceases to exist. And of this, they have no doubt. They say there is no soul that can be reborn in this world or liberated from it by attaining spiritual knowledge. Right. So this philosophy will go on both sides of whether they're optimistic or pessimistic, you know, so whether it's karma or gyan, both sides may use this. Though generally you see that the point of this one is more the enjoyment like that, but it can also be used in the negative. For those who feel that the material world is a place of misery, then you don't have to worry about it, because at the end of the body it's all over anyway, so you just kind of somehow or another have to get through this time. Right, so that means the point is there'll be no judgment. There is no good or bad. You know, anything goes. You know, in either way. Commentary by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Among the great variety of philosophies, materialism, Jatavad, is very widespread. So this is an example of material Jatavad. Materialism is of two kinds. One, the philosophy of attaining material pleasures, Jaranandavad. And two, the philosophy of extinguishing nirvana, material existence altogether, jara-nirvana-vad. Now we will consider these two materialistic philosophies. First, we will look at a materialism in a general way. All varieties of materialism say this: inert matter exists, conscious life exists, and everything is created from inert matter. Conscious life does not exist before inert matter. Philosophies that teach about God are a useless waste of time, right? Because it's just coming from matter. So why would there be a God, right? They're just saying if the combination is right, the situation is right, you get life, right? If someone talks about God, he is talking about a being who exists only in his imagination. If any God exists, one should search to find a higher God that controls that God, right? Because they always say that. Well, then what about, you know, they always have these snappy little smart answers. God's existence has never been proved. In every country and province are religious books describing God and describing the soul's residence in a spiritual world. These books are the wild imagination of various rascals. They're not a rascal, but these other guys are rascals, right? Why would they be rascals? Because if there's a God, there's a standard, and if there's a standard, they would have to follow it. So they don't want to follow it, so anyone who proposes that is a rascal, basically. Right? They do not describe anything that truly exists. Therefore, the words self, atma, and consciousness, chaitanya, refer only to certain aspects of matter. Self and consciousness are created only by a variety of forward, anuloma, or backward, viloma, interactions, samyoga, of material elements, jada tattva. When the interactions are forward, there is creation of self and consciousness. When the interactions are backward, self and consciousness are again merged into matter. Right? So it's, again, it's like this kind of Brahman kind of impersonal thought. So even though they may be materialists, they're still impersonalists. Right? But instead of it merging into Brahman as such something transcendental, it just goes back into matter. Right? So the point is consciousness doesn't, but all the other elements do go back into matter. Right? They come out of matter, they go back into matter. Like that. In other words, there's like Vaisheshika is saying, there's all the atoms are there, and then these atoms come together and form the various elements of the world, and then at their dissolution they go back to the atoms. So that aspect is correct, right? But the idea that's where consciousness is created, right? And that there is no one in control of this, even though it works so perfectly, right? Right? It works so perfectly, but somehow or another they can't understand or acknowledge all this. A self's taking birth again and again in different forms of reincarnation is not possible. Right? Because to them there's no soul. Attaining liberation from matter by learning the truth about Brahman is not possible either. Because the self is not different from matter. The self cannot become liberated from matter. Therefore, matter is the ultimate reality. All existence is only a variety of aspects of matter. Right? So this is all their points. So these are, this is taking materialism in general. But basically, these points will be what will be made. All atheists accept these ideas. One group of atheists claims that each person's attainment of material pleasure is for him the goal of life. Another group of atheists, understanding material pleasure as temporary and pathetic, searches after the happiness of nirvana, cessation of material existence, right? So this is just materialists in general, right? Then you'll have the ones that look at it more positive, that karma, you do good work, you'll enjoy yourself, but good work means what creates enjoyment, right? And then the others are, that doesn't really give anything, you can try hard however you like, you're never really going to enjoy. Therefore, then they're looking for the nirvana, like the Buddhists, right? And then when the body ends, it's all over. So some will say it may take a cycle of these. Some will accept that there is a continuation of the consciousness, and others will just say it finishes here. But even the Buddhist, it's coming. Matter is the cause of consciousness, right? Because they're saying that there is no soul, so therefore it has to come from matter, right? And the materialists are saying there's no God, so there's no soul, so it has to come from matter, like that. Now we'll consider the philosophy of attaining material pleasures. Jaranandavad, right? So that's the general. Okay? Jaranandavad. So jara is the material world. So jarananda means the material pleasures. Right? The philosophy of attaining material pleasures is of two kinds. The philosophy of selfish material pleasures, svarta jaranandavadi, and the philosophy of unselfish material pleasures, nishvarta jaranandavadi. Right? Does that make sense? It means the pleasure is for myself, so work, do whatever you need to do, that you'll be happy. And the other is no work so that everybody else is happy. Yes.
Is it anama and pranama?
Basically, yeah, you could say. But are we starting to see here, means these is what we were hearing here, these are the common philosophies of the world. Right? So these will be the most prominent. Who means the general materialism and then these two aspects. For yourself and that is not so popular as will be explained. Right? But the one where you're trying to help, make others happy is more popular. Why? Because if others are trying to make you happy, there's more of a chance of you becoming happy. If it's up to everyone to make themselves happy, unless you're really confident at that, you may miss out. Right? So if everybody else is trying to make everybody else happy, there's a better chance that you'll be happy. So that's why that'll be more popular. You know? So all the nice and good and thinking of others and all that kind of stuff. Right? It sounds like it's very intellectual in that, but it's just a subtler, you know, a nicer form of materialism. Is that
We also say then that Svarta Jananandavad is for mudas and nishvata?
No, not necessarily, because sometimes the mudas, they care for the family and this and that. Generally, the Svarta Jananandavadi is specific individuals.
Okay.
You know, traditionally, you see is that, we'll see, you know, as it goes more broadly, but they're guys that sit in, you know, the cafes and, you know, and how you say, come up with, you know, and their few friends, and they discuss all this kind of things. But it doesn't become popular.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing about the Svarta Jananandavad. It means that selfishness doesn't become popular. Because
mm-hmm.
he'll explain mm-hmm. later that for a philosophy to become popular on a very big scale, it has to have two things. It has to have the element that you're working for others' benefit,
mm-hmm.
right? Nice work. And that there's some kind of a supreme authority. Right, because you see, these ones that are complete atheists, you don't meet them so often.
Mm-hmm.
You hear these things, but you don't actually necessarily meet mm-hmm. like a card-carrying, you know, flag-waving mm-hmm. atheist,
mm-hmm.
right? Because it's not popular. People need authority. They need that everybody's going to get benefited. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
How is it then that as the Kali Yuga progresses that people just become barbarian practically with no concern for other people?
No, but they're concerned about their own little family and stuff, their own little community.
I mean, like, toward that, like, at the end times of the Kali Yuga describes how people just eat one another and...
But you're not eating your necessarily your own friends and family. You're eating the guys from the next block, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like that, you know? It means, you know, the cribs don't eat cribs, they eat bloods. You understand? So there's still some little sense of
decency.
Yeah, of course. It gets smaller and smaller. Like that.
Maharaj, in some new age groups, like yoga groups, could fall in the first category. Like, they worry about themselves growing and becoming old.
You do have this element that they're worrying, but they worry together.
Oh.
You know, they have their worry about yourself support groups.
Okay.
You know, so it has that area, that element subtly. But that's why it doesn't really become very big in popular culture. See, the difficulty is generally those groups of people are the ones that much of the time are more educated, you know, so-called educated. So then they have more difficulty than your just ordinary, you know, bloke, right? So, but because they get together, they discuss these things, then somehow or another they just feel the whole world's like that. You know, and they're the ones that, you know, they're your, you know, journalists, they're your news people, they're your all these people that have control of the media, right? So it appears that there's millions of them and they're in control, but they're not. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just, they don't care. You have that little yoga studio, there's a few people in that yoga studio, and then, but if you look out the window, there's millions of people out there, right? And how many yoga studios? Go online, check how many yoga studios there are, you know, in the city. And then, okay, then say that you have, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50 people going to each one of them, right? Add that all up, and then check what's the latest census in the city. That's the problem. Like that. So then they can handle this self-centered but kind of seemingly supportive of each other kind of thing. You know, these groups out, everybody can be the victim, but everybody is able to support. Because if I'm supportive of that, of everybody being the victim, I can also be the victim, right? Does that make sense? So it's, you know, they work out, means they're giving these main elements. Then you can combine them however you want, like that. But what he's dealing with are the building blocks of basically the non-Vedic or non-Vaishnav thinking, right? Does that make sense? You know, And they're not necessarily very consistent. But the Vedic, then, they're consistent, though they're wrong. Right? These, you know, other than the Vaishnava lines, they're wrong. But they're consistent. But when you go outside the Vedic, then they're very inconsistent. You know? Like that. Okay, so now we'll take the first one of the selfish material pleasures. They who follow the philosophy of selfish material pleasures think neither God nor soul nor afterlife nor karmic reactions exist. So if that's there, then, yeah, therefore concerned only for results visible in this world, let us spend our time in sense pleasures. But then if that's the case, then you could do anything as long as it makes you happy. You know what I'm saying? The guy in Texas with the chainsaw, it made him happy. You know? So then, according to these people, why they should complain? Because there is no karmic reaction. There is no supreme authority. So all it is just us as a group of people, then we don't like it. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know?
This fits perfectly to any Rajneesh book.
This
sentence could just be...
Yeah. But the problem is that they do make their rules and all that. They just don't want it coming from anybody else other than themselves. That's all. So this whole idea is that if you break it down, so is there authority? Is there common rules? Is there any, they'll have to say yes. Because if they say no, you can do whatever I want. So then I'll take a baseball bat and hit you up the side of the head now. Like that. You know, it's a nice baseball bat, you know. Like that. I really like baseball. You know. So, of course they may, you know, if their false ego's there, they'll say yes and that. Then get out your bat and then see how they're doing. So the whole point is it's just for the purpose that they can do whatever they like without any authority. Mm. Like that. You know, so...
That's why they have to deny the existence not only of God, but the soul, the afterlife, and everything.
Yes. Because otherwise, any of these things create a restriction. God definitely creates a restriction. And then if the soul is there, then we have to deal with the nature of the soul, because if the soul is not the body, then you know, what are we supposed to do? You know, and if there's reincarnation, then that's even makes it more complicated. Because then... You know, there is reactions later. You know, so all these things is generally it's they like to avoid. You know, so the more materialistic, then the more they take on this atheistic kind of element. Means we'll see later where you have this this materialism, but and they've tried both the Jadananda and Jadanirvana body. They've tried them both. And neither of them work, right? Then they take up the monotheism, right? So you'll see that'll come up in the progression, like that. Okay. We don't need to waste our time performing useless religious activities, just useless activities like getting stuck in a jam for 2 hours going to work and 2 hours coming back, right? You know, yes. Church is much quicker. Yeah. Plus, you get to dress up, right?
In case of, 70 years in USSR, then what happened? But those people suffered more than anybody else, actually.
Yeah. And it didn't work.
At all.
Yeah. No, that's the whole point, is that's why at some point they just have to stop. You know? They just have to stop, because otherwise then... It just won't function for them, you know. That's the thing, is that the living entity needs these things. It's just inherent. But you know, they're very convinced of them, like that. You know? Means you don't hear necessarily, But it's like they come up with these philosophies, you know, when everything's going good. You know, the cafes are open, you know, like that. It's the importation of good coffee, you know, like that. There's still a proper stock of berets, you know, like that. They haven't run out. And so one can sit around in one's little place and come up with these things. like that. Yeah, when times are rough, generally they don't, you know, like that. Okay. Because of bad association and sinful deeds, this atheistic philosophy has existed in human society from ancient times. Right? Because we see it goes even back to the means what we know in the Western of the Ionian. You know, it's relative. It's just whatever's going on. It's relative to whatever people feel and think at the time. There is no absolute authority. It's just whatever people feel. So it started that. So that's some thousands of years ago. However, this philosophy has never become prominent amongst faithful, respectable people. Right? Like that. Still, in different countries, some people have taken shelter of this idea and even written books propounding it. But it's people that sit alone in their room. Right? How can write the book? Because how many friends does he have? What kind of social life does he have? Right? So naturally, he can sit in a room and complain. And what's he going to kvetch about? He's going to kvetch about all the guys that are having a good time because they do believe in, you know, working together and authorities and stuff like that. Right? You know, and then other people that have the same problem, then they buy the book. You know, like that. You know, so that's the thing, is it can't become too popular because it's only about yourself. No one likes a really selfish person. Right? Even people like this, if they're more selfish than everybody else, then he'll be, you know, an outcast from the selfish people. Right? You know. That's the difficulty with it. But as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, this has always existed. You've always had them. It's not a new thing, right? We'll take it that, oh, this is new in the modern world and Kali Yuga. No, one is Kali Yuga is, you know, every 4,300,000 years is a Kali Yuga, right? So then that goes on. And besides that, it just means if one is materialistic and doesn't accept the Vedas, one will come up with these things. It's just the way it is. Because otherwise, how do you explain the position in the world? How do you explain how things work? So you're going to have to come up with something like this. So it's always been there. This concept, modern has always been there. As long as Brahma has been there, then modern's been there. Right? Because before the creation, you had Madhu and Kaitava. They were two demons. Right? Like that. Yeah. And so this stuff has always been there. Okay. In India, the Brahmana Charvak. In China, the atheist Yang Chu. In Greece, the atheist Leucippus. I don't know how you say this.
Leucippus?
I have no idea.
I like Leucippus. It sounds nice.
Gracious.
Huh?
Lucretius?
Lucretius? I don't know. It looks like a stretch. It sounds better. It sounds more Greek, but it sounds like a stretch with these letters.
Lucretius is the Roman one.
Huh?
The Roman one, underline. Underline, Roman, Lucretius. Is the Roman
Lucretius, yeah.
In Greece, oh, Lucretius is the next one. He's in Rome. See, it gets a little better when it gets over there, more sophisticated. In Central Ages, Sardanapalus. Okay. And in Rome, Lucretius, and many others in many countries all wrote books propounding these ideas, right? So it's an old thing. It's just standard. The modes of nature bring these things up. So that's what he's pointing out, is that it's not something created by them. These are just the options that the modes create for someone who is materialistic. So this is one of the options. Not popular, but these people who do have this, generally speaking, unfortunately, are very vocal.
Yeah.
Right? Like that. That's the problem with, you know, atheists generally, you know, are really vocal. And you can't hardly say anything without them, you know, exploding or erupting into their, you know, things. Okay, then. Von Holbach says that one should perform philanthropic deeds to increase one's personal happiness. By working to make others happy, one increases one's own happiness, and that is good. Okay. Okay, so now we see is that you have the self-centered, but now this other one is, but actually you'll be more happy if you make others happy, because you have to live in this society with everybody, So if you're just trying to make yourself happy, it upsets others. So therefore, if you try to make others happy, then they're happy with you, and then your opportunities increase. Right? So he's a more intelligent, you know, socially functioning, you know, individual on how to. But still, the point is just to increase your own happiness. So that's why we say extended sense gratification. It's still sense gratification, but you extend it to others. So, okay, footnote 10. To be happy himself is to make others happy. To make others happy is to be virtuous. Let man therefore sit down cheerfully to the feast. Let him contently partake of what he finds, but let him not worry his maybe God with his useless prayers. We better understand what is suitable to our condition, what is content to our welfare, than the cause of all causes who has left us in the hands of nature. Right? So now you can see is that I'm suffering here. So if there is a God, how is he letting that happen? So he's not worrying about us. We're not going to worry about him. Right? So in other words, just be nice, be good, whatever comes to you, be happy with, be content with. So you see, you have a little bit of the stoic kind of thing in it. You know? Does that make sense?
But it's not actually honest, is it?
No. But they come up with these things.
It sounds good.
Yeah. And what we're quoting here is the speakers of these things. So they're you know, quite outspoken. That.
Maharaj, when Sartre used to say that the same thing, that God abandoned us, but he was pessimistic. He came from the Gyan side then.
Yeah, because in other words, if things aren't going right for them, they say God has abandoned us. If things are going right for them, then they'll say God's with us. You know, I mean, when he was winning, then he would say, "God's in my corner," right? But you don't hear him saying that when he lost. No? Yeah. Like that. That makes sense. Yeah.
Would the person who's more concerned with other people's happiness, would he have more of an opportunity to come into devotional service rather than the selfish material?
No, not necessarily. Means the point is materialism is materialism. It means the element that he's willing to work with others, then that aspect of sacrifice is there. So that's why it's better. There's sacrifices, charity, there's some austerity. So it's higher principles of human life, but it's only higher means it's more sophisticated animal. It's not actually come up to human yet. Right? Does that make sense? Because in this, we may say, okay, well, this is very low. But actually, this is low. It is very low. But this is the level of artha. This is where ethics, morality, justice, economics come into play. So that's why you'll see as these things are happening in that group. So they take all this, do nice, be good, you know, don't worry about it. So some will be religious, some won't. That's another thing. That will come up later. But the point is you can be part of the modern society and kind of take part and be nice to others, charitably disposed. And even if you're a complete atheist, you're still very much part of the modern scene. You're an okay guy in the modern scene. Does that make sense? That's the weakness. But we see is that there's some problem, that God was supposed to have done something, he didn't. Right? You know, so this idea is because there's not a matter of there's the soul and there is the, there's karma. Because as soon as you drop the concept of karma, then you're definitely going to start having problem with God. Because then, you know, because of false ego, I can't be the one that's wrong. Right? You know, and I'm not in control of the situation, though I say I am. You know, as long as it goes good, I maintain I'm the controller, you know, of the thing. But when it goes wrong, I can't be the controller. Someone else is controlling. So that means then it's got to be God's fault. Right? Does that make sense? You know, so that's why the acharyas make it very clear that all these elements are there because of the free will of the jiva. He does good work, he gets good results. He does bad work, he gets bad results. Right? Then that, just by having that, then it saves God from, you know, all this problem. Okay. Trying to persuade the people in general, the authors of modern books, propounding the philosophy of material pleasure, often talk about unselfish material pleasure, or doing good, doing good materially to others, right? This term modern is very specifically used. He's not. This is not a synonym for contemporary. It means modern means not Vedic.
Yeah.
Right? Doesn't make sense. But it also can mean that in a more contemporary time, you see more of them writing about this. Because otherwise, you see before. There's one in Greece. There's one in Rome. There's one in China. There's one in India. But as it comes in the more contemporary time, then you have a whole like basket full, you know. Like that, or a whole cafe full, you know, like that. In India, atheism existed even in ancient days. With great erudition, one philosopher wrote a great distortion of the Vedic teaching. A distortion called the Mimamsa Sutras, which begin with the words, Chodana Lakshano Dharma, which replaced God with quote, an abstract origin before which nothing existed, apurva. Right, so that means already in Karma Mimamsa, it's the basis of all this, is that it's just a matter of you do good work, right? So in other words, this is on the side of the good work materialism, you know, the jaranan, but the good work side. So I do good work, then I will enjoy, but they accept the position of the soul, and therefore you go on like this. So it's a little bit more developed. But it's the basis for all these other kind of elements. So in an abstract origin before which nothing existed, right? Apurva. So they're not really dealing with God. That's the thing. Karma Mimamsa, there's a higher authority, but it's not really God, and that's somebody you should worry about. You just do good work and you'll get whatever you're supposed to get, you know.
Is that the universe?
Huh? Yeah, basically, just the universal law. So therefore, in Greece, a philosopher named Democritus preached this philosophy also. Footnote 11. Quote, nothing exists except atoms and empty space. Everything else is opinion. Right. So that means there's the empty space is kind of between Democritus's ears.
Yes. That would be it.
I mean, according to his opinion.
Yeah.
So that means his head is nothing but atoms and then the empty space. Okay.
Yeah.
He said that matter and void exist eternally. When these two meet, there is creation. Why would matter and void? It means matter, everything's made out of matter. But why would it meet void? It has to... I mean, yeah, it sounds good, you know, like that, you know.
Something and nothing.
Yeah, and then when they are separated, there is destruction, right? You know, so it's when the soul is in contact with matter, then there's creation. When the soul's outside, then it destroys. You mean when the soul's in the body, it grows. When it leaves the body, then it goes away. Material elements are different only because their atoms are of different sizes. Okay. Otherwise, the elements are not different. Right? So, yeah, he even has even less. Knowledge is a sensation that comes when something within touches something without. Right? What's this something within?
Cognition, maybe. He's talking of cognition.
Right? Cognition. Yeah, but it still is from... So it's just more atoms. So does that mean when bigger atoms touch smaller atoms, or smaller bigger, or... His philosophy holds that all existence is composed of atoms. In our country also, Kannada, in his Vaisheshika philosophy, also taught that the material elements are composed of eternal atoms. Right? So what we see is here is that all these modern philosophies are based on the Vedic, just they're just not as developed. You know, if you don't know much philosophy, it sounds okay, but if you know more philosophy, you can see really big holes.
Yeah.
Like that, but that's the whole point. They don't have the training, and there's no one else to complain. You know what I'm saying? There's no one else to complain because they're sitting in their cafes, they're sitting at the universities, they're sitting at home. They're like this. You know, who else is there? Where are the other intellectuals to, you know, say something?
They've gone away because they're so vocal.
Hmm?
They've gone away because they're so vocal.
Yeah, that's that also. Okay. For the Vaisa, however, the Vaisheshika philosophy is different from Democritus's atomic theory, for the Vaisheshika philosophy accepts the eternal existence of both God and soul. Right? So that's why we're saying they're you know, what is it, agnostic? Is that the term we use for the six systems?
I think so.
Gnostic. Huh? Gnostic. Gnostic. So they're accepting the nature of soul and the supreme and like that. But it's just to what degree that they're dealing with this, you know.
So this is an example that Vaisheshika is consistent?
Yes, consistent and is of a higher platform. That's why we say the six systems, you know them, then you know all the philosophies of the world, because anything else would just be parts of these. Because here you have the modes of nature applied by really intelligent persons, taking it to the, you know, the nth degree. Then they come up with these philosophies like that. And but others, they're not that qualified. They don't have the Vedas. They don't have the Sanskrit grammar. They don't have the logic. So they just have something left from previous lives. So what they'll come up with is not that developed. Like that. In Greece, Plato and Aristotle refused to accept an eternal God as the only creator of the material world. Conrad's errors are also seen in their views. Means, in other words, of the atomic theories, you know, everything's coming from atoms, right? But the Vaisheshika, then the point is it's come from, the atoms came from God. Mm-hmm. But in creation, it's just a combination of atoms, right? Gassendi accepted the existence of atoms, but concluded that God created the atoms, right? So that'll be more like Kanada. Mm-hmm. Kanada and Vaisheshika. Kanada is the author of Vaisheshika. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's funny because Plato has so many elements similar to the Vedas, right? The reflection. Yeah.
Well, that's why he mentioned his philosophy is kind of based on Vedanta. It's mm-hmm. kind of like that, because he mentioned another place how each of these different scholars, what their school is like. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, as they'll have elements that, you know, are not, you know.
Yeah, well, Aristotle took much more from the substance of the world.
Yeah, no, he's much more materialistic. Yeah. While Plato's a little bit beyond that. It has to be a little bit more universal. But he was making the point that actually in philosophy, the point of it is Socrates was more of a karma mimamsa. Hmm. Like that. Though they had the idea of, you know, there's the real and the unreal, but somehow or another it's not very well developed. In France, what do you call it? How do you say that?
Diderot.
Okay.
I think it's a mistake after my
life. Oh, it means it's not spelled right.
La maîtrise, I think it doesn't exist. I think it's Lamartine.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Diderot and... How do you say?
I think it's Lamartine, it's not Lamartine.
Lamartine. Okay, preach the theory of unselfish material pleasure. Because this is kind of the category we're in. The theory of unselfish material pleasure reached its high point in France's philosopher. How do you say this guy?
Comte.
Do you say the M?
Yes.
Comte. Oh, I see. Okay. He was born in 1795 and died in 1857, footnote 12. But like most of us, okay, this is a quote from him. But like most of us who set out to reform the world, Comte found it difficult enough to manage his own home. Yes. In 1827, at 29 years of age, after 2 years of marital infelicity, he suffered a mental breakdown and attempted suicide in, where? Seine. Okay, that's from The Story of Philosophy by Will Durant.
Maybe that's where insane comes from.
Okay, so anybody who tries that is
insane.
But what about the ones who were successful? They're seriously insane. Okay. 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 His impure philosophy is called positivism. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, because it's positive. It means you work, you be nice, you work, you're good, you'll be happy. You make others happy, you'll be happy. So it's all about positive. Because then there'll be a reaction to this, then there'll be the pessimism. Mm-hmm. Right? It is inappropriately named, for it accepts the existence of matter only and nothing else. So it's not actually positive, because the matter is actually the negative. The spiritual is the positive. It claims, aside from sense knowledge, there is no true knowledge, right? Only what you can perceive with the senses. The mind is only, so that's why then the sense gratification, when we mentioned about scientists, the basis is sense gratification. Otherwise, why have the knowledge? What are they going to do with it? It's just used to increase sense gratification. The mind is only a special arrangement of material elements. In the final conclusion, no origin of all existence can be described. Right? It means they can't think of it because you can't work it out with your senses and their particular group of what is special arrangement of material elements that they call their mind. They can't work it out, so it just doesn't exist, right? Because if I can't work it out, it's not real. Furthermore, there is no need to discover any origin of the material world, right? Because you just have to, it's here, you just enjoy it, you know, you have a nice something to eat sitting on your plate in front of you. You don't have to worry where it came from. Just eat it. You know, that's the whole point. You know, if there's others around, share it. Then they'll be happy. Then when they get something later, they'll share it with you, right? You know, so. There's no sign that any conscious creator of the material world exists. The thinking mind should categorize things according to their relationships, results, similarities, and dissimilarities. Right? So you're seeing, you're using here, what are the relationships, what are results? So sambandha and prayojana. And then the intelligent, when you're looking at the element of sambandha, similarities and dissimilarities. But they're not really discussing what's appropriate action, right? The avideya, other than whatever gives the result of enjoyment, then that's what you can do. Right, because if there's a creator, then there might be a set of how you're supposed to behave. One should not accept the existence of anything beyond matter. Right, because it means you can only enjoy what you can deal with the senses. Belief in God is for children. Well, at least somebody's religious. Right?
It's also said you should hear the truth from children.
Yes, you should hear the truth from children. Yes.
And a child shall lead them.
Yes, yes. So see, this is like that. Adults know God is a myth. Right? So then his idea is that him and a few friends, they're adults and everybody else are children.
Yeah.
Discriminating between good and evil, one should act righteously. But then the problem is who defines that? Mm. This is where then it starts to break down. Because the other one, if you're just selfish, okay, that's a little more consistent, because then the animals are like that. So it's just what you see, you want, you take. And if somebody doesn't like it, you fight. And whoever wins gets it. You know. So, but here is then, you're saying that there's no God, there's no supreme, but why is it there's a common ground of righteousness? They'll say, well, everybody agrees, but why does everybody on the planet agree with the same kind of thing, basic principle? Right? Don't take something that belongs to someone else. Why would that be there unless that comes from a higher principle? Right? One should try to do good to all human beings. Right? This is the philosophy of unselfish material pleasure. Thinking in this way, one should act for the benefit of all human beings, right? Not the animals, the human beings. One should imagine a female form and worship it. So this is this still comped? Or?
I don't think so, not.
Huh?
No,
because this is somebody's philosophy. I can't remember if it's his or not. Is imagine a female form, that form is, of course, unreal, right? So, in other words, it's like the Mayavadis, they say that Shastras are recommending forms that you meditate on because you can't meditate on nothing. So because you can't meditate on the whole material energy, then you imagine a female form. And then that's the form of the material energy, right? Because just like your mother takes care of you, so the material energy takes care of you. Mm-hmm. Though there isn't really such a form, because it's just matter. Mm-hmm. Right? So even here you see they're reverting to the need for having an authority, to having something worshipable like that, and that kind of relationship.
All right. It seems in Panchupasana that's what they do also. They worship.
Yes, yes.
The
yes.
lowest part of worship is the worship of Mama.
Yes, yes, of Devi, yeah. So it's the same kind of, same principle. But it's down on that, you know, on Amoy. But here is that you're extending it something to others. But that extension is only to humans. Because you see at this time, because there's less people, there's less development, industrialization, there's so much nature that, you know, doing anything you wanted didn't matter. You can knock down all the forests and use them and do whatever you liked. And, you know, and then you could also, it was also very interesting how they would categorize humans. So basically it just meant Europeans, you know, Western Europeans, they were humans, right? You know, like that. And so anything else wasn't really like that. Still, by worshipping it means that unreal female form. One attains good character, right? So the idea is that, you know, just like you respect the mother, you attain good character. The earth, or the totality of material existence, is called the supreme fetish. The land is called the supreme medium. And the primordial human nature is called the supreme being, right? A female form with an infant in her hand should be worshipped morning, noon, and night. This imaginary female form, who's an amalgam of one's mother, wife, and daughter, should be meditated and worshipped in the past, present, and future. One should not seek any selfish benefit from these actions. Right. In England, a philosopher named Mill taught a philosophy of sentimentalism. Okay, so that was positivism. That must have been the positivism, right? Because it's positive. You know, you're trying to do all these things, be nice guy. So the idea is that will develop good character. But the point is the good character... to enjoy, that's all. To enjoy. That's true. But then the problem is then only those persons with bad character enjoy, and everybody else doesn't. So this way, if you have good character, then you can see that everybody's enjoying and everybody's happy. So why that's better? Because the point is why is that superior to just enjoying yourself? But as we said, socially, then you can function together. Well, the other ones, you basically kind of have to go out into the forest and, you know, sit out there under your tree, you know, and anyone gets too close, then. In England, a philosopher named Mill taught a philosophy of sentimentalism that is largely like... Now it's even spelled differently.
Yes, there's no P.
Kant's philosophy of unselfish material pleasure. Right, so here, so there's positivism, and now you have another form of this gross materialism called sentimentalism. In this way, atheism or secularism attracted the minds of many youths in England. Right, so from this Mill. Mill, Lewis, Paine, Carlyle, Bentham, who's it?
Combe.
And other philosophers preached these ideas. This philosophy is of two kinds. One was taught by Holyoake, okay, who kindly accepted God's existence to some extent. Very gracious. <Yeah. laughs> The other kind was taught by Bradlaugh. Like I said, they got to work on their names here.
It's pronounced Bradlaugh.
Huh?
Bradlaugh.
English needs some work.
The other sounds good.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sure he got, as a kid, harassed for being Bradlaugh, who was a thorough atheist. Right? So, in other words, these are various, all these different persons, their idea was is that if you are a good person and you do good for others, you'll be happy. The idea is to be happy in the material nature. There's no other purpose. So if you try to help others, then you'll be nice, you'll be happy. Right? Does that make sense? So all these different persons come under this. The philosophy of selfish material pleasure and the philosophy of unselfish material pleasure although different in some ways, are both materialistic, because it's all about just sense gratification, you know, based on the senses. There's no necessarily any higher authority. Or if there is, it's simply by meditating on this feminine form. It's like the embodiment of the material energy. Then you'll develop some better quality. And it's probably the same thing by, you know, Holyoke, or however you say his name. You know, is that by accepting some kind of authority, then you have to, you know, develop some better qualities. Right? Does that make sense? Because to do good for others, you have to have some good qualities. When one deeply thinks about the ideas of all these materialistic philosophers, one will see that materialism is useless and untenable. When one simply glances at them with the eyes of pure spiritual logic, one will reject these ideas as pathetic and untenable. Even ordinary material logic will show these ideas are untenable and should be rejected. This is seen in the following ways. One. How many of these do we get? Oh, that's all we get. Okay. How many are there? There's only at the bottom of the page. Okay. The philosophy of materialism searches for a single principle that is the root of all existence. Right? This is a great folly. If one thinks, and so they're trying to get to what is something supreme or the origin, though they say don't worry about it. Right? If one thinks the material atoms are eternal, the void is eternal. The relation between the void and the material elements is inconceivable, and the powers, qualities, and actions of the material atoms are also eternal. All these things are eternal and beginningless. Then he cannot accept that the material world was ever created. A person who accepts these ideas cannot reduce the material world to a single underlying principle. He must accept the simultaneous existence of many principles. What is time? That he has no power to say. In this way, their attempt to find a single underlying principle that governs the material world is only the wild babbling of a child. Right? So they're trying to find this underlying principle. But the problem is they're saying that everything was always there. There's no creation. Then that means all these different elements of the atoms, the consciousness, all these different things are all things that are going on at the same time. Right? Because we see in creation, then you're starting with something and from there it's expanding. Right? Does that make sense? The Lord's glance, you know, his breathing out, then the glance. Right, then he enters material energy, then the elements they're expanded, then he makes the blueprint, then Brahma, then, so you can see a hierarchy, you know, then from the mode of goodness comes this, from passion comes this, ignorance comes this, right, then you make all the different realms, all the different species of life, all the different, so you can see a hierarchy, and then it can all fold back, so you can say that there is one underlying principle, right? Mm. Does that make sense? But if you're saying that it's all beginningless, then that means each one of these aspects that you're thinking about was always there. And so then, since one's not coming from the other, there's no common point. Right? Because from what's creator and created, created will be like the creator. Right? You know, the cause and effect. The effect has elements of the cause. So then the next one then has, you know, that cause, that effect then is the cause of the next effect. So there'll be a connection there, and the next effect, and the next effect, until the whole creation is made. So there's a common thread between them all. But if you say they all exist simultaneously, that means each one, those principles always work. How will all these principles work without clashing with each other? Right? Yeah. You know, why would you say that, well, this one's, they were always there? So you can't say this is good or this is right or this is better, it's beneficial to help others. It means because then, according to their philosophy, it's all going on at once. There is no actual hierarchy of items.
Maharaj, that's why it will lead to voidism, because, I mean, you won't find anything to hold on to.
Yeah, basically. But they don't take it that far, because the point is they just want to enjoy. Mm-hmm. So as long as whenever they have a problem with enjoying, you can come up with this philosophy and inspire them, then it works.
Mm. You know, after some time, then they'll gradually...
Yeah, like you see, modern psychology basically comes into this as a philosophy. How to work together with others to enjoy the world, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Like that, because if you're not enjoying, it means you're having, you know, how you say, you're in the what is it, the Seine River, right? Because you're not able to work with others in the way that they're working to make others happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right? You're in your own little world, so as soon as you can come out of that and cooperate with others, then you'll be happy and enjoy. Does that make sense? So it's just another form, basically, of this. Right? Maybe they leave out the, you know, the Supreme Mother or something there. But it's otherwise it's the same, it's the same as positivism. Right? It all comes from the same kind of group of dudes, you know. Yes.
Maharaj, I was thinking maybe in Europe at that time, you know, historically it was that the queens and the kings, they enjoyed it to the max and everybody wanted to follow them, but they wouldn't necessarily, you know, share it with public.
Right.
That's why all of those developed.
Could be. So therefore, if you share, everyone will be happy. Can be.
Yeah, it was so negative, then those guys came with a positive, you know, philosophy just to give themselves.
Yeah. Easily. Point is, it's just the modes of nature there, whatever's happening at the time, then that's what they do. Because as you said, it's for a particular time, a particular place, situation, food, this, that. Like you see here, they still only worry about humans. They don't worry about other life like that. But you put it in another area where they're more in touch with nature, then the nature itself is included, and the animals, and like the, remember, it's one of the great bewilderments of the American Indians is how the, you know, how the Europeans could come into that Midwest where you had all those bison and just shoot them for fun. Right, they were food, right? So if you needed to, then, you know, that's how the universe works, is you know, they lived by eating these bison. So therefore, when you need it, you killed the bison and ate it. But just to kill it and let it sit there and rot, that was a waste of food. So that's out of the universal order. So they couldn't understand how you would do that. Fun is something else. You know, fun is going raiding the neighbor tribe or something like that. But not, you know, at least to get something for it. But you don't go out and just do something. You know, it's like for fun, you know, you shoot your horses or something or burn your tents down. You know, it's like, you know, it doesn't make sense to them why you would call that fun. You know, so the difficulty is just in their situation, and they didn't really look at those things, you know. Because all these people are also city people, you know. Like that. Okay, and then here is also then time. They have nobody discusses time. Right?
It's like whatever they can't answer, they say no one can answer.
Yeah, of course. Because they're the smartest person, they're the most thoughtful. And so if they can't answer it, no one can answer. So it's just false ego. Because the thing is when creation, if you're talking about the material, the whole process starts by time. When time enters the mahatattva, I mean the pradhan, then it changes into mahatattva. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's the point, is time comes. So that's how everything works. So time is movement.
Yeah.
So if everything's moving, you're supposed to do something to please others and thereby be happy. That means you require time. But there's no time in any of their philosophies. 2, the philosophy of materialism is unnatural and unscientific, even though it's based on nature, right? It is unnatural because every nature has a cause. Right? Everything means if they're going by only what you can perceive with the senses, but everything you perceive with the senses has a cause. Mm-hmm. To assume that matter is eternal and is the cause of consciousness, which appears only as a byproduct of matter, is very illogical, right? So somehow or another that can happen, but there can't be a God. You know, like that. There can't be someone who... Everything's created, but there can't be an ultimate creator. Mm. And you don't see anything matter. It's not like, you know, you have, you know, your little rock garden in the morning, you come up and the rocks are all crawling around and stuff like that. Or, you know, you pile up all your winter clothes in the closet and that. When you come later and open the closet, then there's all kinds of living entities there because they, you know, just the combination was just right. You know? So, you know, like that. You just don't see that. So this whole idea that it's never been seen that matter creates life or consciousness. But somehow or another, that's tenable. But that God is there as the supreme controller, that's not tenable at all. Well, it's much more logical, the other one. Right? Because everything has a creator. The presence of causes and effects is natural in the world of gross matter. Without causes and effects, the material world would not be as it is. The philosophy of materialism is unscientific because consciousness has the power to manipulate and control inert matter. Right? So how would what is created by control what's created it?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the idea that consciousness is merely a byproduct of matter is fiercely opposed to true scientific thinking. Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah. Because everything's cause and effect.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how is it that if consciousness is an effect, it can control its cause?
Yeah.
Right? 3. Consciousness is naturally superior to inert matter. Only fools say consciousness is a byproduct of matter. Professor Ferris has clearly explained all this. So here's another. So even amongst themselves, then they'll argue over these points. Mm-hmm. Right? But then they'll leave some other point. You know, that's the problem. It's one area they'll fight. So some of them may come up with nice arguments, but the problem is then another area, then they fail. Can anyone prove that matter is eternal? Professor Tyndall has clearly shown that there's evidence to prove the eternity of matter. It's amazing, the Western names. You know, what do they mean? Where do they come from? They're not, you know, they don't have, that's what Manu was saying about, you know, how you say, just common titles, you know.
Mm-hmm.
How do you end up Tyndall or Holyoke or, you know, some of these others? Payne.
Tyndall.
Carlyle.
Tyndall is Scandinavian.
And what does it mean?
Dal is valley, and Tin is just the name of the valley. They would get their last names from the area. They would.
Oh, Tyndall.
Like my legal name is Mulvad. It's from an area in Denmark, from the 1400s.
Oh.
Like that.
Even though you've never been there? Or
we went there 15 years ago. It's a pretty beat-up farm. It's not very good. It's like, okay.
One farm.
One
farm. You got your name from one farm.
One farm. That's where they were.
And how many of these descendants of this one farm are there?
My mother has a book.
That's fat.
All
that many people lived on that farm.
No. That's all the descendants from that particular farm. So all with that name are in that book up until 1988 or something.
After 1988, they're right
that's
off,
when
so
the
they don't
that's
deserve
when the book
to be
was written.
Oh.
So.
Okay. But still, you're named after a valley or something?
Bad is from a bathing point, like where birds would come and hang out before they
the bird hang out.
Yeah, mul is like soil. So they would hang out on the
bird
soil.
Hang out soil.
On, yeah.
Okay, Tyndall sounds better than. Okay.
I'm glad I have a devotional name.
Still connected to land, Tirthadamya, right? The place where Krishna used to go.
Yeah.
That's true.
The place.
Yeah, that's better.
Better, yeah.
Well, that's the point. If it's connected with something spiritual, even the concept is nice, because, like, you know, someone might be named Mayapur, but at least it's spiritual. But if you're named, you know, New York or something. Like that. You know, being people, maybe not New York, but Paris, people named Paris, Sydney.
Sydney.
In Russia, they used to name kids after their leaders. And people still look alive. There's a quiet dead. Dishonor.
Oh, okay.
It's worse.
Yeah.
The place.
Yeah, place is kind of neutral.
You know, unless the place was, what do you call it?
Stalingrad.
You know, yeah, no, unless it. Place with Sobibor or you know, stuff like that, then it might not be so good.
You used to have names like Tractor also?
Tractor?
Tractor. For the lady.
For the lady. Tractor. Yeah, so this is, but basically we can take it, this is what Manu's talking about. He says they're named after something ordinary.
Yeah.
Right, and the guys with ordinary names are very upset about that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, can anyone prove that matter is eternal? Professor Tyndall has clearly shown that there's evidence to prove the eternity of matter. If someone claims that he has looked eternally into the past and eternally into the future, and he has seen that matter is eternal, then no one should believe him.
Yeah.
Okay. Butchner and Molescott. Yeah, this is like a cornucopia of weird names. Claim that matter is eternal. That is an imagination that exists only in their heads. If in the course of time matter ceases to exist, their ideas will become lies. Comte writes, "We should not try to discover the origin or the conclusion of the material world. That attempt only childish is only childish curiosity. However, because the living entity is by nature conscious, he is naturally curious to know these things. The living entity cannot perform a funeral rite to celebrate the death of his own natural curiosity. The search for causes and effects is the mother of all true knowledge. If Comte's idea is accepted, human intelligence will be destroyed in a few days. Of that there is no doubt. When then human beings will all become stunted, numbed, and unthinking." Because you want to know why. Because that's the whole point is, who am I? Where have I come from? What's this material world? What's my relationship with it? That's the questions that are being addressed. Right? So Comte's idea is, don't address it. Don't worry about it. You know. In other words, just sit back and enjoy. You know, why you're worrying about these things.
Yeah.
7. No one has ever seen. Oops, we got a problem. It's not a period at the end of this paragraph.
No.
Okay, so we're going to have to wait. Of course, we have one more minute if there's any questions on this.
Questions?
No.
Modern psychologists, they say the person is fixed up when they again take to selfish enjoyment or.
Yeah, I mean, selfish enjoyment, at least then they'll consider it positive. Now, better would be as if they can share with others.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're saying, is they're in this category of you know, your generic, shared selfish, you know, sense enjoyment,
mm-hmm.
like that. So if that's going on, so that's an element of you know, just social gain. It's not about personal development. It's not about what your duties are, what your actual nature is. That they can't bring out. All they can do is bring out how, in other words, what qualities you have that you could fit into the materialistic society and enjoy yourself.
Yeah.
So this idea that this psychology will help you to find yourself, they'll only help you find where you can fit into the scheme of this shared sense enjoyment. Like that. You know, in a lot of... Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by mm-hmm? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
What's this, the aim of this book, and what's the audience that Bhaktivinoda Thakur was aiming at?
This book. This book is to explain what are the philosophies of the world so that you can identify them and not be distracted by them, or you would know how to deal with them if you bump into such personages.
Means he says something that like untrue, he doesn't explain it more. So it means those who accept it, they accept it. But those who have a different view, they will find it difficult to accept. So
well, it's not a general book for discussion. Here, glory to Sri Krishna Chaitanya, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in whose form rest eternity, knowledge, bliss, and the taste of nectar. By his mercy, this book, which bears the title Satchid Anandanubhuti, directly seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in whose form rests eternity, knowledge, and bliss, has been written. So a little direct. It's not meant for the philosophers. In this Mangalacharan verse, the word rasa is significant. While Krishna is often referred to as Satchidananda Vigraha, Sri Brahma Samhita 5.1, here Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur glorifies Lord Chaitanya as Satchidananda Rasanubhava Vigraha. Where does he get into? He gets into the... Who am I? What is this world? What relation have I with this world? To learn the truth, the soul in this material world will always ask himself these questions. Right? So that's why he's saying, to say that don't worry about it, you know, that's for kids, then is the destruction actually of human life. Because then the human being, he asks these questions. And if you don't ask, you're not human. Right? So at least means a child is better than a non-human. Right, it's more intelligent. So, okay. According to the Vaishnav literary convention of Anubandha Chatushtaya, when it implied that the Adhikari qualification of student to study Tattva Vivek is that of sadhana bhakta, the Vastu Nirdeshatmaka subject matter of the book is the examination of material tinged philosophers in relation to Lord Chaitanya's teachings. The assimilation which will lead to the prayojana, a result of proper study and application, directly seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the embodiment of eternity, knowledge, bliss, and the taste of nectar. Does that answer?
Yeah.
So in other words, because this is part one, well, it'll tell you what materialistic ideas can come up. Part two is actually, what do they say, those in the spiritual world, how do they view things? Like that. So he's saying it's for the sadhaka, so that he can appreciate, you know, what's actual philosophy, and not get distracted by others. Because as we go through this, it means in its state of pure commitment to it as a philosophy, then we see that, you know, devotees aren't necessarily going to use these things. But we do see elements of these philosophies being used on the social platform and being trying to made, it can be made into philosophy. Devotees sometimes use this. You know, so many times we're going through, like I've not necessarily read these particular personages, but I've heard these philosophies before. You know, not the atheistic, you know, there is no God, there is no this and that, but things like, you know, why does God allow this to happen and that, I've heard devotees say that, or, you know, just if you work for everybody's happiness, then we'll have community, you know, not like stuff like we're all Krishna conscious, that's our common goal, or what's the other elements that the Vedas recommend. So you see these things, so then that way you know what's real and what's not. Senator?
Yes. What is the meaning of Viveka? Tattva Viveka?
I'm not sure. We'll have to ask. What is the specific? Yes.
So in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that everyone is on a path. Like everyone is essentially a devotee down the path to Krishna. So
means everybody means all devotees, or everybody
all
means
entities. That's my understanding of it.
They're on Krishna's path, but not necessarily going towards Krishna.
Oh, okay.
You know, like there's a road from here to Calcutta. Everybody's on it,
yeah.
Right? You know. But it's not necessarily that they're all going to Calcutta.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it kind of confused my question. Because I was just wondering if the just the most selfish materialist and the extended sense enjoyer is the extended one closer to Krishna.
It's a higher level of consciousness, yes.
Okay.
But unless you're Krishna conscious, then you're not actually any closer.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Someone can be standing right next to God and not being conscious of him, then they're not actually any more God conscious, and somebody's far away. Like the demons are right there with Krishna, but they don't know he's God, so they don't get any benefit of being so close.
But would the more pious person be more likely to meet with devotee and contact Krishna consciousness, or how does that...
It means, technically on one level, yes, but that's not actually necessarily. It's more the interest to know. You know what I'm saying? So if that interest to know is there, then one will come in contact with those who can tell them what it is. But if you don't want to know, then you won't come in contact.
If you're satisfied with your philosophy.
Yeah. You're satisfied in your position, why would you ask? Because generally there's some dissatisfaction. That's why you turn to what is the actual. So now if you're actually interested to know what is, then you come in contact. But if you come up with some alternatives, you know, God, you know, is, you know, left us here and doesn't care and this and that, then a good chance you're not going to come in contact with God. And if you're really committed to that, you'll come in contact with someone who professes this philosophy and become more, you know, more fixed in your, you know, atheistic position. All it means is that there's one path. It means you're going towards God or you're going away from God. So this elevation of consciousness is one of the aspects how you can tell, like that. But the point is in the non-Vedic, the point is Dharma means according to the actual inherent nature, as we were discussing. So the actual inherent nature is only defined in the Veda. So unless someone's following the Veda, then they actually can't be following Dharma. So that means your non-Vedic cultures never really get past this second level of pranamoy. Right? But that's the point. You may have glimpses of some other elements, but they don't actually have enough knowledge or practice to nicely situate themselves there. Though they talk about it. You know? So then if you're following the Vedic, then it will bring one closer. But the problem is even in the Vedic, you can also ignore God. You know, you accept God, but ignore your relationship with Him. So then the maximum you can get to is to, you know, Gyanamoy, or this, if it means if you're following the Veda, you could technically get up to Anandamoy. But Ananda means just the Ananda of liberation, but not actually the natural Ananda of the soul of interaction with others. Does that make sense? So that means the actual Ananda Moy cannot be reached except through proper Vaishnava understanding. So that means they can move that direction, but they can never actually get to God. Yes?
Maharaj, can you explain why... I give an example. Say on a motorway you have many signs like slow down or be careful here, or when you go at this speed.
Yeah.
There's a lot of warning.
That's the Shastra.
But
who cares for Shastra?
Yeah, like why is there not more, say for example, so many people eat meat, they don't know that it's wrong. So why is there not more, you could say, signs to...
Because they don't want to know. In India they know, but then they continued in that direction. So then you're born in the West where no one points it out. Does that make sense? The point is someone who wants to know, it's pointed out to them. Someone who doesn't want to know, then you don't say. Right? You've tried to say that to them, but they're not interested, so then you leave it. Does that make sense? So that it comes back again, as we were discussing before, it is the free will of the individual living entity. They don't want to know. That's why they're born into, you know, these situations where they don't know. You know, does that make sense? Like in India, even if you're not interested, basically everybody knows about God or Krishna or like this. You know, so there's some, but if after that you still aren't interested, still don't want to know, or just interested in your material, but you're pious enough to maintain human birth, then you'll be born in a culture that doesn't have these things inherent. Right? That makes sense. So that's your... Yeah. So in other words, India is the central point in the universe. Mm-hmm. And everywhere else is either up or down from here. Yes?
Maharaj, how do you account for people, obviously, in a human body, you have terrible karma, like just absolutely worst karma.
But they've done terrible karma.
I'm just wondering though why in that case they will even take a human birth, you know, if there was even an opportunity to...
Because the thing is how do you end up as a worm in stool? You got to do some really bad stuff. So the opportunity is there. There's 8,400,000 opportunities of what you can act like. But otherwise, if there wasn't this variety, people would get bored. You know what I'm saying? You know, the nerds are still playing the computer game because there's hundreds of levels. But if there was only 10, 15 levels, 20 levels like the first games, they get bored. Right? So now it's got to be hundreds of levels. You know, you can talk to others. You can just do all kinds of stupid stuff. You know.
So it's just a manifestation of variety. And it's just... I'm just wondering why they don't go down a species and come out. Like the karmas are so terrible.
But the thing is they are down a species. See, the thing is what, there's 400,000 forms of human life, but only a few of them are civilized. Only a small amount are civilized. Civilized means follows the Vedic culture. So that means most of the forms aren't civilized. You know what I'm saying? So that it is a lower species. Because it's a species of human life. Now, the point is God consciousness is the nature of the soul. Therefore, anybody within the human species has the ability to work on that and develop that consciousness. Though inherently, it may not be the nature of their species. You understand? So that's why the preaching goes on, because then it benefits all these human species. But the point is you might find there's higher and lower, but the point is the real higher and lower is whether they're God conscious or not. That's why we say someone from a lower species is God conscious is better than someone from a higher species who's not God conscious. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because I just understood that human life is meant for God realization.
Yes, so. It is. But the point is it's whether you're actually interested or not, then you're given that opportunity or not. So whether there's an interest that on the material platform, then you take birth in the higher realms. Right? If there's not, then the lower realms. But if actual Krishna conscious through bhakti, then it doesn't matter where it is, then you can go from there. Because all of them have the ability. It's just whether they take advantage of it. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Janitai Gaurabhinoda ki.